The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
I want to share an exciting thing with you that happened last night. A group of Fellowship of Christian Athletes gathered together at a football field, and there were hundreds there. And one of our students gave his testimony. And at the end of the service, his little brother got baptized. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's just one. There were others as well. God is doing something among younger people. He's doing it right in our area. One school, their FCA meeting is so well attended, they have to put them in the cafeteria. They don't have a room big enough other than the cafeteria. Isn't that amazing? That's just so cool. And I thank you because you're part of this, you know, what we can do to help. And I just give praise to God for it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the ministry that you have given to Increse. My, it is so good to hear the words of what is happening in Costa Rica. But it's also thrilling to see what you're doing among us. Thank you for Jeff and his leadership team with our students. Thank you for the efforts of many in the schools with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Lord, we just want to glorify you. And we pray that you are being glorified through these events and many others. And Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of God's people to give freely to this work. Bless each gift and each giver, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're talking about the postcards to the church. These are very short letters. Somebody might say, why are you doing this, Pastor? I mean, heavens, what can 3 John teach us? Well, all scripture is inspired by God, and therefore it's profitable, right? We all believe that. We understand that. And, you know, last week we saw a verse that just communicates from me to you what I hope will be true of us. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I mean, honestly, for a pastor as a church, that's what we want to see. We want to see people walking in truth and walking in love. And we looked last week at the friendship aspects of what was present between Gaius and the Apostle John. And we saw the ingredients in their friendship was love and concern and loyalty and faithfulness and growth. And at the very end of the letter, he says, listen, you know, Gaius, I really want to see you face to face so we can talk. Something's happened in our society. I don't know. We don't talk as much as we used to. And, you know, I'm an encouraging words guy, so I feel that. I feel like I want to encourage you to talk more. Not in the middle of the sermon, but, you know, I do want you to talk. People are speaking about 3,000 fewer words each day compared to less than 2 decades ago. Between 2005 and 2018, researchers found the average number of daily spoken words dropped from 16,000 to around 13,000, a decline that appears linked to our increasing reliance on digital communication tools like texting and social media. Co-lead author Valerie Pfeiffer noted, we did a full analysis looking at what year the data were collected and found that, indeed, 300 spoken words on average per year go missing. Another researcher added, there is a strong cross-cultural assumption that women talk a lot more than men. So they wanted to investigate this, and sure enough, they discovered women do seem to speak slightly more on average, about 13,349 words a day compared to men's 11,950 words. Another author noted this. I'm fascinated by the idea that we know how much we need to sleep. We know how much we need to exercise. And people are wearing Fitbits all the time. But we have no idea how much we're supposed to socialize. The evidence is very strong that socializing is linked to health, at least to the same extent as physical activity and sleep are. It's just another health behavior. Talking face to face, such an important part of building healthy friendships. Yes, that's true. Today we're going to look at the subject of leadership from this same postcard. And so I pick up the reading at verse 5. Dear friend, this is John writing to Gaius. Remember, Gaius' name means to rejoice. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church about Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Dear Lord, we bow before you to ask for that enlightenment. Lord, we desire to not just comprehend some truth about this letter, but to put it into practice in our lives. Lord, we desire to be people who imitate what is good and not what is evil. And I pray, Father, that you will guide us and lead us as we march our way through this postcard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, we're talking about leadership today. And Jesus said this about leadership: very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. This brother Pete gives us this word: real leadership is leaders recognizing that they serve the people that they lead. It's very interesting to me that David was taught how to lead the nation as a shepherd. And there are other examples of that as well. Good leaders are servants. So, how could we describe these three leaders in 3 John? Well, one, we would say, is a servant leader. And a second is a selfish leader. And the third is a sincere leader. So, let's dive in. We're going to talk about Gaius. Yes, he is a servant leader. And hospitality becomes a theme of this paragraph. You might remember that in 22, we chose a verse from this paragraph as our verse for the year because we wanted to be hyper-hospitable. And God has blessed us. We have made many changes to try to be more hospitable. Hospitality means to love strangers. Hospitality is commanded by the Apostle John here. It's commanded by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. All three of them talk about the need for and the value of hospitality. Now, what we observe first is hospitality is watchful. They're always looking for opportunities. It says it right here in the verse. You are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. He doesn't personally, wasn't acquainted with them. But because they're brothers and sisters in this case, he is hospitable. But we are to be hospitable to everyone. Okay, so it's watchful. It's also impactful. It's very interesting, and it's so very true. In the first half of the next verse, he says, they have told the church about your love. There are testimonies going out about the love that Gaius had for people. Peter says, listen, be hospitable without grumbling. Sometimes it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Sometimes it's inconvenient. No murmuring, no chatting in the corner, no mumbling under your breath. You see, that's what Peter's trying to say. Just be hospitable. Be hospitable. Hospitality is also vital. As we read on, it says it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. These people are missionaries. They're going out and they're sharing the gospel and they're traveling all over. Their motive is to honor God. And that's our motive in being hospitable to them. It was for the sake of the name of the gospel that they went forth. Now, where did John learn this stuff? Where did he learn this? Well, it's pretty obvious he learned it from Jesus. Jesus told them, that's the 12, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. This was the experience of John and the other apostles. There were no Motel 6 to leave the light on. You know, there was nobody else to depend on. And why did they not take support from those who did not yet believe? So they wouldn't be charged with being greedy. You hear it today. People feel like pastors, missionaries are only out for money. That's such a sad thing. If you ever catch me doing that, please fire me. Honestly. You know, every once in a while, somebody hacks my stuff and sends you notes that says, I'm asking you for money. That doesn't happen. I would never do it. Okay, we depend on free will offerings. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. So that we won't be charged with being greedy. We don't charge people to hear the gospel. Believers support the ministry, yes. But we don't charge people. That's not what we do. Hospitality is also respectful. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality. See, it's given as a command, as an obligation. Once these missionaries have been identified, they're the kind of people we want to be hospitable to. Why? Because we're working together for the truth. You see? We're part of it. Paul identifies 8 different individuals that he calls fellow workers, co-workers. Listen, why do we choose partnership? Because we're working together. We're doing this together. We're better together. And what a blessing that is, that we can enter in and we're doing it for the sake of the truth, gospel truth. This isn't just honest labor, it's gospel labor. And that's the beauty of it, you see? So, what can we say about Gaius? He is generous in hospitality. Maybe this verse will encourage you from the writer of Hebrews. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Abraham did. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is a great calling. Servant leadership. Do you remember our journey through the Gospel of Mark? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And we are also to give our lives away. How many times, though, do people actually use servanthood as a measure of leadership? Honestly, think about that. We look for the measure of success. We look for the measure of money or this or that or this or that. But in the economy of our Lord, it is servanthood that is the highest mark of an effective leader. Well, that's good news. That's a good example for us. But now we got some bad news. You know, if I didn't preach through the Word, I would never preach this. But I will tell you one thing. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time earlier in my ministry when I had a Diotrephes in the church. There are no Diotrepheses in this church, all right? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not looking at you. But that Sunday, I was looking at that guy. I had to watch myself because I just wanted to look at him. You love to be first, don't you? Oh, okay. We call them church bosses sometimes. But I don't have that here. So this is preventive medicine. Okay. He's a selfish leader. He's proud. He loves to be first. Diotrephes means nourished by Zeus. So he probably comes from a pagan background. It seems like he's part of the church. But John says, listen, I'm going to issue some indictments on this guy. When I show up, a letter was sent. He didn't like the letter. He didn't want it read. He didn't want it taught. And why is this? Because he loves to be first. My lexicon says, with a view to controlling others. And the verb love is in the present tense, so it means it's an ongoing habit in his life. It's not just one issue, but it's all issues. It's such a horrible thing when someone like this is in a church. You know, it's pride. I mean, Proverbs said it pretty well. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, who's the premier arrogant, selfish leader? Who would it be? Well, it'd be Satan, wouldn't it, huh? Yeah. So in Isaiah, I believe Isaiah is talking about Satan. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zarephath. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. It's so sad, the judgment that is facing our enemy, Satan. It really is. But it's because of his rebellion, because he was proud. And then what did he do? He passed it on to human beings. Genesis 3, you go into the garden and you see him first questioning the word of God. Did God really say you couldn't eat from any of the trees? He's such a killjoy, this God. He has too many rules. God didn't say that at all. God said you can eat from every tree but one. And then he just right out denies. He says, if you eat this, you're not going to die because you're going to become like God. Isn't that the premier lie of the enemy? That we can become God? It really is. And it's so insidious. It's so detrimental to life. So this issue of pride is one that certainly is relevant for any day and every day. Not only is he proud, he's prejudiced. He won't welcome the Apostle John. Think of that. The Apostle John who walked with Jesus, the one who wrote the gospel the same decade that he's writing this letter. And in his letter, he identifies himself as the one Jesus loved. He is the one apostle that was at the cross. And Diotrephes says, no, we don't welcome him. You can't imagine how arrogant this guy really is. It's really not a question of doctrine, maybe. It's a question of behavior. This guy, nowhere in the text does it say that he actually had become a heretic. It doesn't say that. It just says in his practice, in his behavior. That's the problem. I mean, the writer of Hebrews says we're to respect our leaders. Hebrews 13:17. I understand that this weekend there are going to be some demonstrations. No king. They say it'll be peaceful. I hope so. I don't know. There's this insidious thing that people are always questioning leaders, and this was what Diotrephes was doing. And, you know, it's just a tough time, isn't it? Well, here's a quote from Maxwell. I kind of like John Maxwell. If you think you're leading and turn around to see no one following, you're just taking a walk. One of our members took a picture of that to take back to her job site. Well, listen, he was prejudiced. He was proud. He's also malicious. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. To ignore this would be a cowardice act. He needed, as the apostle, to call out Diotrephes. It is affecting the body detrimentally, right? And this guy's malicious, spreading malicious nonsense about us. What's his weapon? Words, lies, made-up stories. Listen, remember when you played basketball? Trash talk, saying nonsense, right? That's what Diotrephes is doing. This didn't happen in the first century. It happens today. It's a sad, sad thing. This word malicious is the word for morally and socially worthless and depraved. It's used as a title for Satan in 1 John and for Cain. And this weapon is words. It's idle accusations. And he just keeps doing it. And not only is he malicious, he's also aggressive. So John is going to have to address this. This looks like a church discipline sort of situation. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen, you have won them over. Listen, if you have a disagreement, you have a problem with somebody, go to them personally. Don't ask me to get involved. That's called triangulating. Go to the person in private. As soon as you sense something isn't right, the sooner you go, the easier it is to reconcile. It really is. And do the best you can. Now, if that doesn't work, what Jesus is telling us here is, they won't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So that's the problem. And then, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So those are some outline of church discipline that is in the scripture. But this guy, he's just so aggressive. He's not satisfied just with this malicious talk and this stuff. He even refuses to welcome other believers. And he stops those who want to welcome other believers. In that list would be Gaius himself. He had just been telling Gaius how he commended him for his efforts of hospitality, particularly with visiting missionaries. And now it looks like Diotrephes has him on the list. That's really weird, isn't it? And he puts him out of the church, or he tries to. Now, I don't know whether he's a leader or just a layman. That really doesn't tell us. But I'm going to tell you something really honestly. There are pastors like this. There are leaders like this. Woe unto you if your boss is like this, or your teacher. It's just a really sad situation, isn't it? I mean, it's so dark. It's so very sad. Alistair Begg, I was listening to a sermon he gave on this text, and he said, you know, the formula is pretty simple. Diotrephes is a proud man, he's arrogant, he's got a big ego, and he starts to act it out. And if it's not checked, it's going to bring chaos. It's going to bring chaos. And so it's a very serious thing. You know, I think he needs to go out and look at the stars. Honestly, I think that'd be a good remedy for him and for a lot of people that are proud and arrogant. On a cloudless November night in 1572, Tycho Brahe observed an unusually bright star in the northern sky that suddenly appeared in the constellation Cassiopeia. It had been assumed since antiquity that anything beyond the moon's orbit was eternally immutable. That star, SN 1572, is now classified as a supernova that is 7,500 light years from the Earth. By 1592, 20 years later, this same man had cataloged 777 stars. His mapping those fixed stars blazed a trail for his protege, Johannes Kepler, to discover the laws that govern planetary motion. Several centuries later, it was a telescope named for Kepler's honor, the Kepler Space Telescope, that would catalog, get this, 530,506 stars. The original man, widely regarded as the greatest observer of the skies who ever lived, but even he couldn't have imagined the existence of 500,000 stars. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Astronomers now estimate that the existence of more than 2 trillion galaxies. Each of those 2 trillion galaxies has an average of 100 billion stars. Do the math. Well, I can't. It's just beyond me. What's the point? Creation is much larger than any of us can imagine. And what does that say about our Creator? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've settled for a God that we can measure and manage, and your God is too small. Why did God take Abram out and say, listen, look at the stars. I'm going to make your descendants more than the stars. Father Abraham and many sons. Maybe that's what Diotrephes needs. A good lesson on the fact that he's human and he's not God. And God's God. He's so selfish in his leadership. He's arrogant in his hostility. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. The proverb said, and Jesus said something very similar. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's frightening when someone like Diotrephes shows up. We've all met leaders like this. We've all met people like this. Don't be one. Don't be one. So that leads to the good news. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be horrible if we left on that note? My, that just be, I don't want to be Diotrephes. All right, how about Demetrius? Just before he talks about a sincere leader by the name of Demetrius, he mentions again with that very tender introduction, dear friend, do not imitate or mimic what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, out of God. God indwells them. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. They haven't even taken a glimpse of God. They haven't even had the first sighting of God. Those who do evil as contrasted with those who do good. In fact, good is to overcome evil, Romans 12, 21 says. And good will ultimately overcome evil. Amen? Amen. That's true. We know it's true. So, he has a picture after the principle of a man, Demetrius. Now, Demetrius, his name means, belongs to Demeter, who was a goddess of harvest and grain. So he also seems to me to have somewhat of a pagan background, most likely. But again, many Gentiles were coming to faith, so that's reasonable. There is one Demetrius mentioned in the Bible in Acts. He is a silversmith in the city who opposed Paul. Now, this is many years later. I'm going to tell you this. Wouldn't it be something if it's the same guy? Wouldn't that be amazing? Listen, there's this guy, Saul of Tarsus. He became an apostle. So the silversmith certainly could have come to Christ. He could have become a model of what is good, a model, sincere leader, because he says, listen, we all tell testimonies, and all the testimonies are true about this guy, and we affirm it, me and my team, and you know that our testimony is true. Peter Drucker is another man who talks about leadership. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. I should read that again, shouldn't I? Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. That's what Demetrius was like. The church had a wonderful reputation in the community. Acts 2, 46 and 47 tells us this. Even though they didn't understand them, even though they opposed them, they had to acknowledge good things happened over there when God's people were gathering and when they were going into the community. And Demetrius is like that. He is transparent in integrity. Everybody knows it. It's very obvious. And Paul said it this way, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. What do others say about us? That's a frightening question to ask. What do they think of us? I hope they see Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want to lead others to faith. We want to share life with others so they might connect with Christ. They might be invited to connect in our community and then go out into the culture. And you know, these twins of friendship and leadership just are just jumping off the page at this little postcard. And I'm so thankful that we took the time to look at it. Luke 6:40, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Our desire is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? None of us are ever going to make it perfectly. We're always maturing, growing, God willing. being trained like our teacher. Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. There is nothing beneath us in serving others. Servant leader, selfish leader, and a sincere leader. Now I want to close with a challenge, okay? You're seated, get your seatbelt on. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. The guy's a tax collector. He's sold out to the Roman government. He's probably cheating people. And Jesus says, follow me. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for they were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. As you've matured in Jesus Christ, are sinners attracted to you? Are you drawing people toward Jesus by your words, by your behavior, by your servant leadership, by your sincere leadership? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? So we got a plan. Here's the appeal. Our goal for Lights in the Night this Halloween is to go into our neighborhoods and let our neighbors know we care about them. We came up with this idea. We feel it's led of God to help us to be a light in the darkness of our community. You know, I haven't been home on a Halloween in so long. I mean, honestly, over 40 years, I think. I'm looking forward to meeting my neighbors. I'm going to put some chairs out on the driveway. I'm going to get some hot cocoa. And I went and bought the biggest candy bars I could find because I don't want to cheat the kids. I don't want to say, that's that old stingy old guy over there. And my goal is to meet some of my neighbors, to learn their names, and to pray for them. I intend to ask them, is there anything I can pray for you about? That's simple. That's all we're trying to do. Now you say, well, I don't live in a neighborhood. I live in an apartment. All right, come join me. Or you can go to other places where this event is going to happen. We're taking out to the community the gospel of Jesus. That's really the intent of this. I hope you'll sign up. I hope you'll join with us. It's going to be amazing. We want to become gospel outposts in our neighborhood. We want the people in our neighborhood to know, man, if I need help, I can go there. That's a gospel outpost. That seems like what Levi did to his house. It became a gospel outpost. All right, that's too convicting. Let's move on. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being a Savior who came not to be served, but to serve. Lord Jesus, please help us. Help us to be sincere. Help us to be servants and not selfish. Lord, I just praise you for the body of believers at Fellowship Community Church. Lord, we are looking forward to seeing what you're going to do as you send us out. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to represent you, to be lights in the night. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.